look at all the people here tonight. What's a fella got to do to get a drink around here? We have a very special guest. Actually, he is our second guest of the whole career. This is my whole radio career here. And my first guest was Uncle Manny, who was the patriarch of the Roth family and kind of spells out the reason why I got this job and why I made my way into these sacred portals here. And our friend Dan Freeman is about to describe something that accounts for, well, beer made me what I am today. Dan has visited, what, 1,000 bars in the past year. Say hello, Dan Freeman.
How do you do? How do you do?
Wow, Dan, you do not look like somebody who's been to 1,000 bars. You look like a world traveler, adventure news reporter, embedded in Iraq kind of an adventure guy. What?
Oh, the embedded in Iraq part? That's probably kind of the same thing.
No, you look like somebody who's a traveler or whatever. You don't look like somebody who drinks much at all. How is this?
At practice, I think.
Now, when you went to 1,000 bars, what was the purpose behind that? I think I have an idea, but I'd like to hear you say.
It was just something I kind of thought would be an interesting thing to do. I hadn't heard of anybody that had done that number, and a lot of my friends kind of said it can't be done. And that was kind of a motivation to just see whether or not I could go to 1,000 different bars in a single year.
You've got an amazing voice for radio. Did your voice change from going to that many bars?
No. People have said that before. Funny, I've never thought of it that way because you don't hear yourself the way you sound.
There you go. Now, when you decided to do 1,000 bars, was it just to see the insides of the bars or was it a way of seeing the world around it? For example, when I used to jog, I decided I was going to jog over every major bridge in every city that we would do when we played on the road. So I ran across the Brooklyn Bridge, I jogged across the Golden Gate Bridge and everything in between. But it was more about seeing the world around it as opposed to just that bridge. Did you just decide to see the inside of the bar or what?
I think it kind of evolved in that because I've always kind of hung out in bars. But I think like most people, you tend to hang out the bars in your neighborhood or around where you work. And by going to more and more bars, I ended up in more and more neighborhoods, and I definitely did see a lot of different types of bars, and I met a lot of interesting people that I wouldn't have met otherwise.
Well, there you go. It's about people, is what I think, yeah?
I would say as much about people as anything else, sure.
Okay, do you have a favorite drink that you ordered in every bar? Are you all across the board?
All across the board, but I probably drank more beer than anything else and more Guinness than any other type of beer.
Why Guinness particularly? That's my favorite. Okay, that's my favorite. Look, we got a Brit here. We got a Brit.
Oh, yeah. Love a pint of Guinness, Dan.
Why do you like Guinness the best?
Well, yeah, but Guinness is Irish.
Right. Are you Irish?
Part Irish. It's good. It's kind of like breakfast.
Yeah. It's a meal in a glass.
That's what I've always said.
Well, it's a meal in a glass. Drink a bite to eat? How many times have I said that? It certainly sounds like breakfast to me. What do you eat for breakfast? Well, wait, let me ask you, how many bars in a given day would you go to, Dan?
As few as one and as many as 12.
Okay, what did you eat for breakfast before you went to 12 bars in a day? Because it's Wednesday, it's the first day of the weekend, I'm going to follow you.
Go ahead. usually I just have a bowl of cereal or scrambled eggs.
What kind of cereal?
Whatever my wife bought.
No, these are specifics because beer made me what I am today. You can't argue about it.
I think one of those high fiber cereals.
Okay.
Yeah.
And this carries you. And at the end of 12 bars.
I'm just happy to hear that after all the bars, he's still regular.
After all those bars, would you be drunk? Would you be intoxicated? What? Or
there were a few times. I only did 12 once, and that was in Mexico. And well, you know, actually, but in Mexico they don't serve quite as large drinks. You know, New York you get huge
well, they're smaller
drinks.
People, and it's down south.
That's true. That is true. But New York is tough. New York, you get a martini, you know, and it's huge. You go to most places, and you get a reasonable sized martini. So,
that's because of the competition here, huh?
Absolutely. And here everybody drinks a pint, or you even get the Imperial pints, whereas down there you drink a bottle. And so 12 bars down there would probably be like 8 here.
I've experienced down below the border. I've been all over South America and all over through the islands and everything that a lot of times the alcohol content varies depending on the political structure of the country that day.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
We would drink prestige beer down in Haiti in the early 80s, and one day you could drink 6 of them, and the next day 2 of them would accomplish the same tragic task. Yeah?
In Belize, they had local beer there was Belican, and that's that was 12 and a half cents American when I was down there.
12 and a half cents for how long of a buzz? How is that?
Well, you got a buzz. I'm not sure if it was from alcohol or not.
Where in New York City did you like going to the most? Can you give us the top three that you would say, if I had to say, make a recommendation, what would you say? Well, the top number one as far as the people, the ambience, you know, the
bars or neighborhoods?
The bar.
Well, actually, my favorite is the one in my neighborhood in Brooklyn, right downtown Brooklyn, Pete's Waterhouse.
Coincidence? Perhaps.
Perhaps. And now this time I'll be able to go back more than once.
Okay, that's right. You had to structure this like
pretty
homework.
Much, pretty
my
much.
Kind of homework.
And there was a bunch of them on the Lower East Side that I liked. Library, Nice Guy Eddie's, and across the street, Julep, and very close to it, Vazme.
Why the Lower East Side? I live down around that area. Why do you pick the Lower East Side as a favorite, Dan?
Oh, I just like the people there. Everybody knew each other. Everybody was friendly. The bartenders were all very friendly. It was a very comfortable neighborhood.
Well, that's the arts and letters community down
Absolutely.
There. All your new musicians, all your new architects, all your new anything in production or television or music or everything. That's what down there. That's what I call the land of the blue crew cut and the tongue bolt.
Although I think they're all going to slide over to Brooklyn eventually.
That's where everybody's headed. Well, they're getting squeezed out by the $1,800 baby carriage and Starbucks.
Right, you know? Right. Actually, now you're starting to see more and more kids in bars. Since they cut out smoking in bars, all of a sudden parents seem to think that it's kind of a healthy place to take their kids.
So much for parents.
Yeah, it really ruins it. It ruins the ambience.
No, it probably does, right?
Yeah.
A bar has a certain kind of ambience that you picture. I know it from Norman Rockwell paintings. I know it from stories from Uncle Manny in World War II. I know it from the way the Bowery still looks to a great degree. That's what a bar meant. It was the people inside, and each place had its own identity. And when you start to make it just standard spring break drinking, that's something else entirely. What did you experience down in Mexico? What kind of places did you go down there, Ben?
Well, I spend most of my time in Puerto Vallarta, which is getting to be kind of a touristy place.
Sí, and it's,
but I also wandered out into the wilds, and I went to a few bars where I'm sure they didn't see too many tourists. But everybody was friendly. I mean, you know, even I would be in places where they couldn't speak English, and I don't speak Spanish.
Yeah, like the Lower East Side.
Yeah, exactly. But Uno Cerveza Fria gets you by just about anywhere.
Now, did you drink tequila when you were down in Mexico?
Oh, yeah.
What's your favorite kind of tequila, Dan?
I like Patron. You know, basically, they have the same tequilas there that they do here. The prices have gone up there because they're exporting so much of it. But I drink the same stuff down there as I drink here.
Do you like the silver or the gold?
I like the silver if I'm making a margarita. I like the Raspado if I'm just drinking it straight.
Okay. Now, I get this confused. You hit the lemon, kiss the girl, and taste the tequila, or do you kiss the tequila and hit the girl? What?
I think my forehead hits the bar. That's the.
Okay. Are you familiar with why they put the worm in the bottom of a tequila bottle?
Yeah, they don't actually. The worm only goes into the mezcal bottle.
Okay, explain this. We have a lot of drinkers listening.
Okay, well, mezcal is made out of a different type of agave. It's not made out of the blue agave.
Which is stronger?
The mezcal. And it also has a smokier flavor. Mezcal's getting up there in price. It used to be kind of a cheap second cousin. But the worm lives inside of the plant, and supposedly that type of agave has a bit of a hallucinogenic property, and the worm supposedly it's concentrated in their body. But whether or not that's true, I don't know. I've eaten a lot of worms.
Tequila has made South America the great industrial innovator we've come to know her as today.
That's true. Actually, Mexico, you know, is North America. Mexico is North America.
It totally is. Are you coming? I come from Mexifornia.
So there you go.
¿Tú hablas español?
Yeah.
Entonces?
Uno cerveza fría.
That's good enough to get you into school.
Yeah.
That's good enough to carry. How many countries did you drink in, Dan?
Let's see. Mexico, Spain, Canada.
Stop right there. In Spain, what's the difference in what they drink there? Is it the same thing? Is it Budweiser, Bud Light, or what are they drinking there?
They have much more wine. I drink much more wine there. And they have their own local beers, so you don't see too much Budweiser over there. But they have their local equivalent.
Are you going to write a book on this? Is there a book in work?
I'm going to. I hadn't thought about it, but so many people have asked me about it lately, and I've actually been contacted by a couple agents, so I'm starting to try to figure out how to put it down in some format other than just, you know, I got up today and I went here, here, and here.
So, is there a movie in the making?
If there is, I want Steve to see me to play me. That's the only criteria.
It must be a very interesting thing to explain to customs agents what you're about. What was the purpose of your trip is what they always ask you, right?
Professional. I just say professional trip, yeah.
A professional trip. Yeah. Let me ask you this. in the United States. How many of the cities did you go? How many of the cities did you visit?
Not all that many, because I did most of it here in New York. I went over to Hoboken and Minneapolis, and then I was up in International Falls and Rainy Lake.
In Hoboken, where did you go to drink? Is there a Frank Sinatra context added to that?
Well, Hoboken is just almost bar to bar. I mean, it's probably got more bars per square mile than any place else I've ever seen. So there's a huge number of bars over there.
And which one is your favorite coming out of Hoboken? Because you're the only one who's not biased. You're the only one who's not advertising for money.
I'd like to answer, but I can't really remember.
Which one has the best T-shirt?
I didn't see too many T-shirts, although I kind of like the one at Hank's Saloon.
Okay, talk to me about this. The chains. Stuff like Hooters or whatever. You avoided the chains? You avoided the...
I went to a few TGIFs, and I really disliked
those. What's TGIF?
Thank God it's Friday.
Okay, sure. Shows how many times I've been there. Go ahead.
The only one that's... there's a good one in Penn Station, but the rest of them aren't too hot. And I went to a Hooters in Mexico, and, they're pretty generic. They don't have, like, real bartenders that communicate with you.
Have you ever gone to those places where the girls have the belts and they, flip the...
That's not considered real drinking, is it? That's called striptease. That's spring break style, right?
Yeah, the holsters, they have bottles and the holsters.
Yeah, I've been to a few of those. When I was in Puerto Vallarta, that's a big, like I say, a touristy place, and they have spring break down there, so Senior Froggies was one of those places.
I've been
Carlos
there,
and
sure.
Charlie's, that's kind of place.
Yeah. I know it well.
Yeah. Have you ever had
Carlos
absinthe?
Right. Pardon me?
Have you ever had absinthe?
Yeah. Yeah.
What's the story with absinthe?
Talk to us about absinthe, because this has a mystery around it.
Well, you always hear that it's the wormwood, but apparently it's not. It's just that it's an incredibly high alcoholic content drink, and it's because it's sweet and licorice flavored. People kind of consume more of it than they are aware of. But as far as I've heard from people who have done analysis on that, the wormwood is a minor part. Pernod was the one that originally
I had absinthe.
And what happened to you?
I bought it when we were in Manchester, England, and brought it back, and I drank it in New Orleans, and I woke up face down in the courtyard of the hotel I was staying at. And it's pretty...
Yeah, but that's not wormwood. It's not a mystical poison, right?
No, it's a kind of slightly hallucinogenic, but they don't make it like they used to 100 years ago.
No, and if you drink as much as you usually do, of course you're going to hallucinate.
Because then you would have found yourself face down in another city.
Is it legal in this country? Can you get absinthe?
No, not the real stuff.
Spain, you can. You can get it in Spain. The closest thing you can get here is Pernod, and Pernod is the company that actually, they made the original absinthe. Mm. And when it became illegal because of the wormwood, they pretty much just changed the formulation and turned it into Pernod.
So it sounds like all the good booze somehow have worms associated.
Do you ever have any moonshine? Did you ever get involved in any of that?
Not this go around, but long ago when I was in Georgia in the service, I drank moonshine, yeah.
Okay. What is, if you had to order a drink right now, what would you order?
Right now, at this hour of the morning, probably a Maker's Mark Manhattan straight up.
Ooh, oh,
these
baby.
These are interesting. I'm making notes here. I'm making mental
a breath
notes.
Freshener.
Okay,
said.
What's the most sounds more like bikini remover. What is the most exotic drink that you've heard that was familiar with? Is there something that would be so unfamiliar to us? A combination of something that you experienced out there on the highways?
Not on the highways. I was on the CBS morning show right after New Year's, and they had some woman in there that was showing how to make these drinks, and she made something that had like fig compote in it and guava jelly and who knows what else.
A pile driver.
Yeah, that's not my kind of drink. If pushed, I'll have a Cosmo.
Okay. This is interesting stuff. Robin, what do you think? Is this encouraging you to drink more?
Very much. In fact, yes, I wanted to ask you, yesterday after the show we went, we were looking to go have a drink, because our days over at 10 o'clock, couldn't find a place to drink in this neighborhood at 10:30, 11 o'clock in the morning.
You got to go over to Hell's Kitchen or go over to the 2nd Avenue area, and there are fewer and fewer of them. I mean, I wish I'd done this maybe 10, 15 years ago.
Because there would be more places, or they'd be better?
Absolutely. They'd be more the old-time Irish pubs. Pretty much, they're being torn down to make condominiums. Even the Blarney Stones are being remodeled. You just don't find the bars around that you used to.
See, when I worked up in the 47th Precinct up on the border of Yonkers, there's a huge stretch of Irish bars that reach there. We don't see see a whole lot of that in the inner cities anymore.
No, I was up in the Bronx, and a friend that I was with, I was commenting on how many there were up here, and he said, but this is nothing. He said there's probably about half as many as there were just 10 years ago.
How does smoking impact what's happening with the bars? Are bars going out of business like they said might happen, or has it impacted it not at all?
I don't see any real change, but what I hear from the bartenders is that you still have the same number of customers in there, but because they go outside and smoke, people typically go into a bar not for a number of drinks, but for a certain amount of time. And so if they go in there for 2 hours, then they have to go outside to smoke. That might be one less drink, that's less money they spend, and less of a tip.
Okay. Yeah. Well, they've created a whole new voter block, the people who stand out front and smoke cigarettes.
But on the other hand, all those little kids that are going into the bars now, they'll grow up to be regular customers, I swear.
You got a feeling, huh?
I just know it.
What kind of music you like to listen to when you're in a bar?
Growing up in the 60s and 70s, I like the AC/DC and of course, David Lee Roth.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Do you listen to rock and roll when you go
absolutely.
To these bars?
Yeah,
that's what you prefer?
Yeah. Tom Waits is always good for drinking, too.
Okay, well, that's the other end of the spectrum there. That's the downtown.
Depends what you're drinking.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's the downtown element, and that's what I would be listening to as well. Either that or some kind of jazz.
No? He actually sings a song that references 9th and Hennepin, and 9th and Hennepin is in Minneapolis, and it was about five blocks from where I lived for a long time. And there, I even know the two bars that he's singing about. One was Mousey's, and I think the other one was Carousel. They're both long gone, but he talks about you can't leave anything small in a bar in here. I'm sure it was one of those two bars he was talking about.
You know those people. It's like I know the names in half the federal indictments that are handed down on CNN, allegedly. What's the best hangover cure?
You know, I don't get hangovers, surprisingly enough. I never have.
That's why I asked, what do you eat for breakfast?
Yeah, and the president of the company that makes Rebound actually sent me several packages of it and told me I should try it.
Rebound?
That's a hangover cure.
Okay.
And I sent him back an email. And I said, I'll tell you what, I'll give it to my friends in that, but I just don't get hangovers. So I'm very lucky or unfortunate.
Do you ever mix any of these drinks with Red Bull? Have you ever tried that?
No. No.
Red Bull tastes like gasoline to me.
Yeah, so does Grappa.
Grappa.
Grappa. Now there's a good gasoline.
That's a great drink.
Yeah.
Do you eschew mixed drinks? Do you just like your booze straight?
No, I like the classic cocktails. Like I like Manhattans, I like Bombay Martinis.
Yeah, but those are all booze mixed. I mean, do you put sodas in? Do you put tonic in?
Doers and soda and Tanqueray and tonic are kind of two good summertime drinks.
At any rate, if you just keep drinking, you never get the hangover, right?
That's true, too.
What's the old song? What's the use of getting sober?
Yeah, well, and no matter what anybody says, I know for a fact that a beer in the morning does cure a hangover. People have told me that, and I'm sure it's true.
Words to the wise. It also makes who is ever in bed a little better looking, huh?
That could be as well.
Dan Freeman, thank you so much for coming by. Dan visited 1,000 bars. We're going to have him back in another 1,000. Thank you so much for your time, sir. God bless.
Thank you. Dave.
Radio, smooth as a prom queen's thighs, though not quite as risky. Broadcasting from New York, and we're talking to Philadelphia, I'm telling you. Roll out old Texas skies, Dallas, Texas, Boston, Cleveland, Pittsburgh, I know you know the word, West Palm Beach, it's all within reach. Call us 866-313-3733. We just got done talking to Dan Freeman, who has been to 1,000 bars. Great guest, good voice, huh?
How many bars you been to, Dave?
In the last week. since I cut my deal with Infinity. it was an arm wrestling match over the brown M&Ms, but here I am, baby. Beer made me what I am today, actually. I'm reading a thing here. It says Men's Fitness Magazine has released a list of the 25 fittest and 25 fattest cities in America. I wonder if it has anything to do with the amount of bars in the city. The most fit city, Baltimore. Wouldn't have thought that. The fattest city, Chicago. Okay, here's the opening. I think it's probably mainly the affluent people who can afford better food, health clubs, and have time to exercise who are considered fit. The Baltimore mayor feels Baltimore has become more prosperous, blah, 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 blah. Is being fit a rich person's exercise, because competitor magazine Men's Health ranks Baltimore as the 93rd best city, with a grade of F for health and C plus for fitness. Uh-oh, sounds like there's some promotion going on here. I want a cheeseburger.
From where, Dave?
I want a cheeseburger from McDonald's. I eat McDonald's twice. I eat McDonald's twice a week. Does that make me a heavy user?
No, it depends upon what else you're doing, Dave. You know, if you have a fit life, I know you exercise, and I think everything in moderation, whether it be drinking, McDonald's, and other stuff.
Is it bad when I leave my gym and my trainer and drive to McDonald's and get a quarter pounder with cheese, no onions?
Yeah, but you tell them to hold everything, but the...
It'll take you 8.5 hours to walk off a McDonald's cheeseburger and fries, or a Big Mac and fries,
well,
or whatever.
I skip the fries, but I do like the quarter pounder with cheese, no onions. Did you get that?
I think
cheese, no onions.
I like the quad burger with everything, man. I got to tell you that I grew up on white trash food, okay? I don't know that McDonald's is trash food, but that I grew up on stuff like mayonnaise sandwiches where you cut the tomato only three times. So you have three slices out of one tomato, and you put mayonnaise on both sides of the bread, right?
A little salt and pepper.
And then you roll your sleeves up, and you put your arms over the sink. So when you... So when you bite into the sandwich, the tomato juice runs down your arms and bleeds off your elbows into the sink, right?
Absolutely.
Animal, you have any experience with... Oh, you know what? Animal, here's some great junk food. Can you explain welfare pizza to us?
Oh, man, welfare pizza.
Tell where this comes from.
This comes from Alabama. When you're eating that food, they call it commodity. I don't know if y'all are familiar with that term.
What's commodity?
Oh, it's some food that the government gave poor people.
Is that like that cheese?
That's government cheese.
Yeah, government
right?
cheese.
There should be a
stuff.
Band. There should be a band named Government Cheese. Right? It's like black eyed peas. Who eats that anymore?
It sounds like an affliction.
I still eat black eyed peas.
Okay, now. Tell us about welfare pizza.
Okay, like welfare pizza is like when you're real poor and you ain't got nothing to eat, you take a can of biscuits.
What kind of biscuits?
We had Pillsbury, I think.
Pillsbury?
Yeah. you take them and you spread them out in the pan real flat, put some ketchup down. Then you take hot dogs and chop them up and put them on top of it. Then you take that government cheese and spread on top. And then you put it in the oven and wait a few minutes. When the bread rises up, you got yourself a welfare pizza.
I love that. You could even like crunch up some corn nuts and put that on top.
Oh yeah. I figured out how to make it a little better now. You know, better cheese, you know, you don't have to use that government cheese no more.
Like Gruyere, right?
Yeah, you got all
kinds
of fancy cheese.
Spell that.
Gruyere.
I can't either. I wouldn't eat it either.
It's Gruyere, and it's Gruyere.
Oh, this.
Smart ass.
I thought it was called Domino's.
Yeah, Domino's.
Well, it sounds like it contains all the basic five food groups: sugar, starch, fat, grease, and alcohol. Although the alcohol is probably a supplement now.
You ever had any Limburger cheese?
Sorry?
I was asked, and Robin, has she ever had any Limburger cheese?
I actually love Limburger cheese, and
how
I remember from the Little Rascals, do you remember, they used to do a thing with Limburger
all
cheese?
All the time they did that.
And it's supposed to stink, and my mother-in-law is a fan of it, and it comes in these little jars, and I grew up thinking, oh man, I gotta stay away from the Limburger cheese, and then I had it, and it's really good.
Well, you
salty,
know.
Stanky.
Linda's holding up a sign here that says something about a yeast infection.
Yeast infection cheese.
Well, let's put it this way. I used to like the Limburger cheese.
I want to know. I'm very curious about who's the first person that ever ate Limburger cheese, right?
It does smell like feet.
It worse than
3-day old sucks.
It smells like
I want to know who's the first person who had enough nerve to eat an oyster. Right? You like oysters, Animal? You ever have an oyster?
No, I don't.
Never?
Well, I like the smoked oysters, but the raw oysters like eating a booger or something.
I tell you, I had a bad experience a few weeks ago with a pretty girl from one of the local clubs up here. I had a little bit too much to drink, and it was like trying to force an oyster into a parking meter. Turn up the music. Dwell on that. Dwell on that. Okay. Do fat people make better lovers?
Of course.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, listen to that. Not a second of it. No lag time there.
Oh, yeah.
Do you like fat girls?
I love fat women, man.
Okay, well, your wife is far from fat. She's well in shape. She's built tough, right?
Well, she was like 155 or 60 pounds, you know, when we met. But
is that big?
Yeah.
How tall is she?
She's like 5'8".
Well, that's still not that big.
But as she got, you know, older, she lost the weight. She like 135 now and stuff. But she's fine, though. I got a hot wife, I think. And what you don't know is she's 54.
Okay, well, wait, I want to stop right here. First off, she's not fat. She's calorically challenged.
Right.
I want to be correct here. Pull up to the bumper, parts 1 through 12. Our special guest is Animal.
Oh.
And does she eat welfare pizza? Do you guys even make that anymore?
We do it for fun sometime when we get to talking about my upbringing, and I would bring out some of the stuff that we used to eat, and she was like, how could you eat that? But I learned how to improve stuff like succotash. I never liked
that. Wait a minute, what's succotash?
It's like creamy corn and lima beans, I think.
I thought it was a cartoon character.
It is. Yeah. That's the only time that I know that kind of stuff.
Yeah, succotash.
So what I did was...
Who did that? Succotash.
Succotash.
Sylvester.
Succotash.
Yeah, who said that?
Sylvester.
Sylvester.
Was it Sylvester was the first gay cartoon character.
I thought,
but you're right.
Yeah.
He spoke with a lisp or something like that. Oh, no. Which one went... Heavens to Murgatroyd.
Heavens to Murgatroyd. Oh, I don't know. I love that.
Who was that character?
Marvin the Martian.
He was a Peter. He looked like Pink Panther.
I think it was a cat or something like that.
It was a cat.
I don't know. Let's talk.
I got to say, exit stage left.
I think that if you're overweight, that it's you're probably going to try harder in bed.
There you go.
Do you think?
Hell yes.
And I wonder if this is an issue also when we're talking earlier about younger guys and older women and whatnot. If the visuals kind of get put to the side, if the age difference is a big, big thing.
Well, my grandfather told me the reason why he liked it. Older women, two dead batteries would never start an engine. That's what he told me.
What?
Two dead batteries
would never start an engine. So, and then
I don't understand that one.
Didn't Nietzsche say that?
Two dead. You know, if we're both 65, you know, there's no fire in the room.
Oh.
But if I'm 65 and I got a woman that's 30, you know, that's fire, baby. She's going to fire you up.
I got you.
Two right. things. One, it was Snagglepuss who said heavens to Murgatroyd.
Heavens to Murgatroyd. Sounded like an interior decorator.
And they say that that the age of the people in bed should never equal more than 100.
If you add them up together, all three of them?
Well, that's what I was going to say. Does that mean so? Four 25-year-olds?
So the average age in Miami and Florida is deceased. So that means no one's having sex?
But once the age equals 100, it's...
You got to add them up together. So you have to be... What is the average age of consent now in the United States? Is it 18?
No, it's
there's
like
places where it's even younger, isn't it?
Yeah.
Or there used
there's
to
states
be.
Where you can get married at 13 or 14.
The
in
states...
Mexico.
In Mexico, you can get... At what age is it in Mexico?
12.
Really? How do you know that?
Well, I know some guys down there had married 12-year-olds because that's the only place you can do it and don't really, like, go to jail.
There's a formula for that in the United States.
Tell me.
It's the average amount of teeth is the age of consent.
It changes from state to state because, like in North Virginia, Moosehead is a beer, and in the southern part of Virginia, Moosehead is a felony. All right, they can't all be gems. Roth Radio, broadcasting New York, Philly, the entire world. Here we're on 866-313-3733. If you want to talk about weight gain here, because I think junk food has gotten a bad rap. I think junk food is not even junk. It's something that somebody has attached to it from a whole nother food category. What is it? Something like 70% of all Americans eat this garbage breakfast cereal for breakfast, right? That's why I asked homeboy, you know, who've been to 1,000 bars, what did you eat for breakfast that's going to soak up that many visits to the bar? Okay, because we all know the result of that kind of a trip here. But the people who gave, quote-unquote, junk food a bad name are junk food makers themselves. They just have a better promotion capacity. They just have a better publicity agent. Captain Crunch, Rice Krispies, and all the rest of this garbage sugar drivel have a better public relations firm.
Oh, yeah, Dave. Now, all of a sudden, everything, same cereal. All of a sudden, two words, whole grain. Everyone's on the whole grain, so it's supposed to make it healthier now because it's whole grain.
And they're still lying to you because your whole grain cereal is soaked in sugar water. And then people still waste their time looking for calories. And what you're supposed to be looking for is the fat grams, okay? And how much sugar is really in that. Because you go get a health food cereal, you can get all of these granolas and whatnot, and they are loaded with fat, and they're loaded with sugar.
To find that out.
Oh, it's such a joke. And they talk about orange juice and stuff like that. It's loaded with sugar, and they'll say, well, that's natural, right?
Yeah, and my other favorite, it's like there's no trans fat. It's 9,000 calories, but there's no trans fat.
Yeah, and the guy, one of the Mr. Baskin from Baskin Robbins, died of a heart attack at the age of 40, what? 41? Something like that? Seriously. And it's not junk food. You're trying to take a candy bar and turn it into dinner, homegirl.
That's the problem. And that's with all the diabetes that's going on in the country now, is everybody's eating too much sugar and too much fat. And it's not junk food's not a problem. It's eating it 24/7.
Okay, I'm going to drink a sugar-free Red Bull, and we'll come back after this. Go away! I'm a fugitive, baby. Roth Radio, some scenes may be too intense for younger viewers. Hey, that's the show I want to be on. 866-313-3733. And we're also on DavidLeeRoth.com or the DavidLeeRothShow.com worldwide. Get your arms around this, baby. Somebody wants to talk to me about fat and skinny. Big T, it says. Big T, you're talking to David Lee, Roth Radio. You're in the spotlight. Go. Go ahead, brother.
How you doing, man?
Great, thank you.
Nice talking to you. Appreciate all those funny videos you gave me way back when. Hey, fat bottom girls, let me tell you, man, they rock, okay?
Why do they rock?
Well, because they don't mess around, all right? You go to them, they got the chance, they got the opportunity, they go for it. None of these games, like the hot, skinny ones, you got to play the game. You got to buy the drinks. You got to do this. You got to play the right thing, you know? The fat bottom girls, you go up to them, they're right on target, man. They don't mess around. It's their opportunity. They're going to jump at it. And you know what? They're usually hungry. So I don't know why I'm asking you this, man, because a guy like you see more ass than a toilet seat.
I've seen more ass than Frank Sinatra's toilet seat.
I want to hear your stories, Daddy.
Well, you have a choice. You either wait until the inevitable weight gain that happens to guys and girls, or you get them young enough before the bad habits connect, right? I guess I'm speaking to the NASCAR nation as well as the love and liberal left here. Linda, weigh in on
how
this.
How young, Dave?
How young?
What do you think about this, Dave?
Go ahead.
How about instead of, hey, the money's on the dresser, cookie jar's on the counter?
The cookie jar's on the counter. I lost the thread on that one here.
Instead of leaving her money, you're leaving her food.
For the cab, just give them the cookie jar on the way out.
Oh, I got you. I felt a lot like that when I concluded my negotiations for my contract with Infinity. I said, geez, after an experience like that, I feel like I should leave $100 on the dresser for you. Ooh, that's going to hurt in the morning. Roth Radio, it does hurt in the morning. And I want to talk about what's the proper age? Okay, because we know, we talk about, okay, fat women. We've expressed that this is great. This is cool. We've expressed that younger women with older guys, that's cool. Everybody who's listening to Roth Radio, the whole wrecking crew nationwide agrees that older guys, younger girls, older women, younger guys, it's all good. But what is the age of consent? Robin, you were just looking on the internet stuff, yeah. And there's like, it's 18 years old. Is it not across the country?
Well, it looks like the average age is about, believe it or not, it looks like the average age is 16, but in Hawaii and Idaho, the age of consent is 14.
Whoa.
14.
Is that too young? call us on that.
It wasn't for you.
Allegedly.
Well, there was music and alcohol involved. 866-313-3733. Ladies, call in. Let me know. What's the right age for a woman? What's the right age for a guy? Because it might not be the same thing, right?
And it's also, what's the right age for a woman and what's the right age for your daughter? I'm sure there's going to be a split there, too.
There you go. The old triple standard, right? I bet you it's different, huh?
Yeah, huh?
How old do you think is the right age for consent for a guy? Go ahead, Rumble.
Oh, man, for a guy, I suppose, to me, it seems like 16 should be the age of consent for everybody.
Driver's education, right?
Yeah, and I think everybody's doing it that age or right around that age anyway.
If you're old enough to be functional in the front seat, you're old enough to be functional in the back seat.
Well said, darling.
I have a poetic license, and I'm not afraid to invoke it, lady. We build dreams here, baby. I don't buy them, I sell them. Give us a call, 866-313-3733. What is the age of consent? Hutch, how old were you when you first consented?
15.
Brian?
17.
Animal?
14.
Robin?
14.
Linda?
16.
So nobody was the age of proper consent. Were you of proper age, Sash?
When
you were 15. Nobody's paying attention to these rules. No. Nobody in this room, the whole wrecking crew here is like...
You said age of consent. So if the legal age of consent, I think in this society right now, we see that children really have more knowledge than I ever did. My nephew, my niece, I mean, things that are coming out of their mouth. I mean, we're in an age of tremendous information. Children are maturing. So to put guys in jail sometimes, and I don't think it's right. I don't think it's right that you take advantage of a girl. But some of these guys are going to jail, and the reality is they're coming out as sex offenders, and some of the women know more than they do, even though they're a little older than
them. Of course. And how do you pump all of this through MTV, VH1, the cover of Sports Illustrated, Victoria's Secret, which is my favorite kind of porno?
Yeah.
That's yuppie porno. That's acceptable porno. If your wife finds that, you can just go, honey, I was thinking about Valentine's Day.
I get the catalogs. I put them right in Nick's bathroom.
Yeah, and you know what guys do? You know what we do? We get magazines that have like a lesbian pictorial, right? You get the magazine of Playboy. That's an acceptable one. And you wait until an article shows up with two of the girls together, and you casually leave it in the kitchen, right? So your girlfriend shows up and goes, wow, do you like this stuff? And you go, why? So do you like it when it looks like that? I go, why?
Never answer the question. It's the safest way to go.
She'll find her way there. What? Linda, you have a comment.
That's happened to me. I just think that's so funny.
You didn't know it was being done to you. It happened to you, but you didn't know
done? I have a lot of straight friends, and, you know, it'd be interesting how the topic always goes to... You know, always goes to that.
Goes to two girls together.
Yeah. You know, the husband will bring it up, or, you know, all of a sudden it'll be like this video, or it'll be like a question about something, or it'll be the magazine on the table. I think that's so funny.
Oh, certainly. Well, it's the second most popular sex act available in magazines today. Guy, girl, two girls in a toaster oven. 1, 2, 3.
All above the age of consent.
All above the age of consent, which inevitably we're going to be arm wrestling over here. I'll do the figure four standing Indian deathlock to say that I think 18 may actually be the best time, but none of us actually waited until we were 18. So, Julie, she's going to tell me that women should be... Well, Julie, you tell me. What should women be? Roth Radio, you're on.
Women are much more mature now. So I really think, this might sound stupid, but I think 16 is more an age for women.
And what about for fellas, darling?
Well, fellas are doing it at 10. I mean...
everybody's laughing, but...
I mean, my husband was 9, so he tells me so.
Yeah, Uncle Manny was 9. He, back in 1928, he was 9 years old, and the girl that he was with was 10 years old. Jeez. I'm not recommending this, but I'm exploring what the reality is compared to the actual rule, because nobody in this room followed the rule. Not in any country. You got United Kingdom.
17 over there.
You have New England. You have California. You got Midwest. None of us followed the rule. So is the rule standing correctly? What happened here?
You can't keep track of that, because if politicians and people who wanted to make rules had their way in everything, you know, things would be a lot different. Women now are getting their you know what at 10 and 11 years old to say that you can't have sex or the age of consent is 18 years old or whatever. It's ridiculous.
Okay, well, how old are you, dear?
I'm 41.
Okay, and how old were you when you first 16. Experienced the miracle of life?
16.
So you didn't wait either. Do you think girls should be 16 as well?
Yeah.
Is it okay for me to look at nude pictures of 16-year-old girls?
Ooh.
Ooh is right. Take a second. We'll turn up the music while you think.
I don't know about it. Yeah, I don't. Jeez.
This is an interesting question.
I never thought of it that way.
Well, now you do.
Now I do.
Seriously, I'm gonna give voice to both sides of any coin here and the edge here. I'm not taking a specific position.
What would they call the magazine if the age of consent went down to 16?
I can't answer that. You know, I think I have a 5-year-old daughter, so that's, I don't know.
Well, you know, if you feel that it's acceptable for age of consent to be 16, then subsequently it would be acceptable for her to pose in a magazine. And I know that you would not want your daughter to do that. But somebody else may say, what the hell? The age of consent has been passed. She's driving around in a car. She's listening to 50 Cent on the CD player. She's old enough to know better. I'm asking you, I have no desire to look at a picture of a naked 16-year-old. I want to see Sasha, who's 21 years old, who looks 16, naked. And I'm gonna talk with her about that after this.
there's so many contradictions in the law. If you think about it, you know, our boys are over, you know, in Iraq fighting at 18. You can drive at 16. You can drink, but you can't drink it until you're 21 in New York. You know, it's like...
It's all over the place.
It's all over the place.
But it sounds to me like you stalled at one of those pivotal moments there when I said, okay, age of 16 is acceptable,
yeah.
But is it acceptable for her to then pose in Playboy magazine naked and for me, an animal, to go buy a couple of copies?
But there's a different thing there because the age of consent is 16. That's your consent. That has nothing to do with the consent of other people looking at you. You know, like that's a different... consensual act, as it were.
I agree.
You sound like you're trying to arm wrestle yourself.
No, I'm wrestling with the concept because I hadn't thought of what you said, and it's very disturbing.
They put it in, but they can't look at it?
Well, wait. What if the 16-year-old supposedly, according to this gal, okay, is old enough to go ahead and live life large,
uh-huh,
right?
Uh-huh.
Like that. Doesn't that include the wherewithal to go, hey, I'll let somebody take pictures of me naked? Granted, it's not her daughter, but if some 16-year-old, suppose we agree that the consent age should be 16, are you then telling me that if that kid says, great, I'm a full-blast adult, I want to make some money taking nude spreadshots in a magazine?
Well, then the age of consent for sex could be 16, or maybe it should be until you can afford a lawyer.
Good one.
Okay, well, we're going to take up a collection for our next litigation here. 866-313-3733. Don't go away. This sounds like an interesting topic.